Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. And to anybody that's sitting at home online watching this, we've come together today to worship God, and we worship Him in our hearts. We worship Him with harmony in our singing. We worship Him as a family. Coming back to the Vines after 5 years away, it's just like you're stepping back into your family again, isn't it? It's amazing. It says here we worship Him with dancing, so if you want to stand up and dance during this song, you're quite welcome to. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Please stand, everybody.
Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy, no one can take away. Jesus put this song how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to
seated, everybody. Praise God. Someone told me the other day that in life there are only just two things to worry about: whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. And if you're healthy, you've got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you've got two things to worry about: whether you get better or whether you get worse. If you get better, you've got nothing to worry about. But if you get worse, you've got two things to worry about: whether you live or whether you die. If you live, you've got nothing to worry about. If you die, you've got two things to worry about: whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. If you go to heaven, you've got nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, you've got two things to worry about: whether crispy or extra crispy. Before COVID, quite a few years ago, I was preaching in certain southern area churches around, and I noticed that quite a few churches didn't have musicians or gifted worship leaders. So when COVID came around and the Vines temporarily shut their doors, I thought maybe a few of us could get together and just go and visit those churches just to help out in their worship. And quite organically, this group formed to help in that ministry. And our main aim was just to bring people into the presence of God and show the revelation of Christ, that personal relationship. Just like Jesus did when he met the two folk on the road to Emmaus, if you know the story. And hence we called this group the Emmaus Group. And that is us today. I'll just introduce, of course you know Sally, don't you, from the time before. Adrian's helping out today on the drums. This is Brian Downing, and he's a great guitarist that's come along to the group. And in the past we had Diane Fenn, do you remember that? And Jeff Hutchins. And all of those form the Emmaus Group. Just as Jesus opened the eyes of the two at Emmaus, showed him who he really was, showed him this amazing grace that he so richly offered us, that's our aim today, to see Jesus just like that. And as we sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, let's keep that in mind. Please remain seated.
Like me, I'm
God, we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be your sons and daughters here upon earth. And today, Lord, we come to worship you, to glorify your name for the great God that you are, for your goodness and your mercy and your amazing grace. Lord, we lift your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, it's my turn to do notices and I haven't got any. This is my first time back worship leading in 5 years, so it's a bit nerve-wracking, I must say. Has anybody got any notices that they're willing to share this morning? Anything happen? Yes, Richard. Sorry, mate.
Wednesday night,
the men's group dinner. Which hotel?
Victoria
Hotel. Sorry. Yes, Nance. Alan's funeral this Thursday. We do offer our deepest condolences, kid. Yeah. Alan's has had a major influence, as well as Nancy, in the church over many, many years. And I believe he was a centurion, is that correct, Nance?
Yes,
centurion, okay. So funeral's this Thursday at 11 o'clock. Sorry? 11 o'clock this Thursday. Sorry for my lack of preparation. Anybody else got any more notices? No? So we look forward to the different day, different things that are happening in the church throughout the week, and there are quite a few. Wednesday afternoon Bible study, which Richard and Sue lead at 2:30, is a great Bible study to belong to. Do you want to stand, Richard, just so people know who you are? I go to it and I highly recommend it. 2:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. Okay, time for intercessions. Thanks, Lauren.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let us pray. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. As we gather today in your church to offer our prayers to you, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to give you all the praise and glory that we can. Today, we remember and celebrate the life of one of your disciples. As people of faith, we have lost one of our own this week when Alan went home to you. We thank you for the life of our beloved friend, Alan, and praise you for the time he spent here on earth. We know you called him home by name and have welcomed him home to your eternal kingdom. And we ask that you grant him eternal peace and rest. May he be reunited with all his loved ones who have gone before him and find joy and comfort in your presence. We entrust his soul to your loving care and ask that you comfort his family in their sorrow. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love that never fails. Alan, who passed on Tuesday at the age of 100, he was going to be 101 in September, a young boy who grew up and spent his adulthood with his precious love, Nancy. He was a father and a father-in-law to 4 children and their families. He had 12 grandchildren and 23 great-grandchildren. A longtime faithful and a proud follower of God, and a respected friend to many here at the Vines. We know that your angels were with him and with Nancy when he traveled over to be with you. He will be sorely missed by all who knew him. We remember your verse, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. We have been challenged over the past couple of weeks to search our souls, to discover the purpose that we have for each of us and the followers of your grace. By no means an easy task. We know that our world is damaged by evil, but as your followers, O Lord, we remember and respect your many disciples, like Alan and Nancy, who have taken up your thoughts and have dedicated their lives to nurturing others in your name. At this time, let us all remember our own relationship with Alan over the years. Please take a time to remember. Our Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his unfailing love. As a conclusion to our prayers today, please join with me as we remember the prayer Jesus left us before he went home. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, hear our prayers and have mercy upon all of us. And please wrap your arms around Nancy and her family for this coming week. Amen.
Thank you, Ari. It's a beautiful memoriam to Alan Nance, and we send you our love. We're going to use the song Only a Holy God as part of our offering, and at the end of this song, the people, the offering stewards, have come forward, and Sally's going to pray. Please remain seated.
Every king bow down. Who else? rescue me from my failing? Who else could offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a
Father, we thank you for a chance to give back to you. You've given us so much. You've given us life. You've given us salvation. You've given us mercy and so many other things. So we thank you for the chance to be able to give back to you. And we pray, Lord, that you will multiply these gifts and use them as arrows to go out into the community to share your love. And we pray that they will bear good fruit, these gifts. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ben.
Our reading this morning is from John chapter 11, verses 38 to 45. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did now believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
In the first chapters of John, in the first verses of John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I have come that we could have life." And not only that, but life to the fullest. And today I want to share some ways that that can happen. And I want to use the story of the raising of Lazarus to help with that. I want to draw from the story 4 principles, 4 little words that may give us a leading towards fulfillment in life. A way to fulfillment, and any one or more of these points could help in our everyday lives. So in the story of Lazarus, Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb. It was a cave with a large stone sealing the entrance. And what did he tell the people to do? He said, "Remove the stone." It's interesting, Jesus tells us If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we could just tell a mountain to uproot itself and put itself over there. I'm sure Jesus could have just pointed his finger at that stone and said, "Move," and it would have. But he didn't, and why not? Because he wanted someone else to help him. You see, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he wants his followers, you and me, to work with him. I remember my eldest son, when he was very young, he always wanted to help Dad. And the whole time he did it, he had this huge smile on his face. And of course, I knew I'd have to go and fix whatever he did afterwards, but to see him so happy just gave me great joy. And it can be like that with God and us. God can do it himself, in fact, far better than we can do it. But he wants to work with us. It just pleases him. Jesus said, "Remove the stone. Remove the barrier between him and Lazarus." So the first word to ponder today is remove. Remove what? Anything that could be a barrier between us and Jesus. Think about it. What sort of stones or barriers could be in our lives that affect our relationship with Jesus? One of them for me many years ago was smoking. I just found it almost impossible to give up. But when I came to the Lord, something miraculous happened at a church service. A bloke prayed for me. Sorry. This guy was Barry Good. I don't know if you know him. He was the first guy to rob a TAB in South Australia. And he got 15 years in jail for that. And he found the Lord in jail. When he came out of jail, he used to go around to different churches praying for people. And he prayed for me to give up smoking, and I never have smoked since. There are many barriers in life. Just think about it. Unhealthy habits, unnecessary hang-ups, unbelief is a major barrier. And of course, sin is a barrier. God calls us to remove the stone, get rid of or give up those things that come between Jesus and us. Now in verse 39, Jesus gave Martha, who was Lazarus' sister, the responsibility to move the stone. And what did Martha say? "Oh no, Lord, after 4 days there will be a horrible odour. I wouldn't advise it." Now try and take that in for the moment. Martha, I'm sure a beautiful soul, giving Jesus, the creator of the universe, some of her advice. It's weird to imagine that, isn't it? "I'll consider it, Lord, but can I suggest that you do it my way?" So Martha objected for her own reasons. It is possible if God wants us to remove a barrier that could be hindering our relationship with Jesus, that we may well object as well. Maybe it might reveal something that we don't want others to know about. Maybe it's embarrassing. Now, I can really understand that because I have felt exactly the same quite a few times. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 40. He said, "Did I not tell you, Martha, that if you believed," meaning if she simply accepted what he said and removed the stone, what would happen? Jesus said, "She would see the glory of God." Now, what did that mean back then? Jesus would raise her brother from the dead. I'm sure Martha didn't expect that at that particular time. But that's what he meant when he said, "You'll see the glory of God." She would see an amazing miracle, someone raised from the dead, a mind-blowing visual. But more importantly, she would recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Now, with that in mind, please consider this. Have we ever let a stone or a barrier stand in front of a miracle in our lives? And let me follow up with this. Do we really want to see the glory of God? If so, Jesus says, "Remove the stone." Now, I have to keep asking myself, every day virtually, is there a stone that needs removing in my life? Anything that would hinder my relationship with Jesus? And as we heard in the story, they did remove the stone. They had to physically go to the stone, put into action Jesus' request. It's one thing to hear the call, it's another thing to act upon the call, and to me sometimes that can be harder. Martha had to overcome her thinking of a four-day-old body and the implications of that, but she did, she responded. Our second word for today's talk is respond. In verse 43, it tells us that Jesus thanked his father out loud for raising Lazarus. Notice, it wasn't a petition to God, but a prayer of thanks. If we are asked to remove a barrier in our life and respond to it, then some good things will happen. So Jesus turned to the tomb and he shouted something out quite loudly. What did he shout? I don't think I heard that.
Come out.
Come out. Can anybody else say that louder? More. Come on.
Lazarus, come out.
Now Lazarus would have heard that. I think Jesus said it strong and loud. The voice of Jesus is potent and life-giving, there's no doubt. Now you know, previously in chapter 5, Jesus had said, "The dead will hear my voice and those who listen will live." This was about absolute proof of that. How blessed are we that we have heard Jesus' voice today. And if you're not a believer today, then you are actually hearing his voice through this scripture right now. If you're watching at home and you're hearing Jesus' voice through this scripture, he's talking to you. Jesus asked Lazarus to come out. He didn't send people into the tomb to help poor Lazarus out. Now, I can't imagine Lazarus's mobility at that time. 4 days is a fair time to be laying down and wrapped up in cloth and swaddling. But no, Jesus said, come out. Maybe he just wanted Lazarus to respond to the call. You know, there's an Anglican evangelist in England, he goes by the name of Canon J. John. So he's like a reverend, I guess, in today's in Australia. Very switched on person, and then one day he heard from God to go and pray for this particular lady. He thought about it, but he just brushed it aside. You see, it was actually an hour to get to that lady. It would have been an hour to be there and then an hour home again. He thought it was too much. A week later, he was praying, he got the same message again, go and pray for this lady. And again, he said no. Now, God doesn't give up. A short time later, he got the same message again. He said no, but then he went and watched TV in that morning, and on the news, in the headlines, the lady that he was meant to go and pray for had died from a drug overdose. Who was she? Amy Winehouse. Now, you could be thinking, how could this Canon J. John go and see a famous person like Amy Winehouse? Well, Amy actually rented her house from John's uncle and had free rein to go and visit at any time. Of course, he was distraught, very distraught, and he had to repent to God for not listening to what God was saying. He said in his own words, "We can't alter the past, but we can bring the past to the altar." And God seek his forgiveness. It shows the absolute importance of responding to God's call. And sure, we all make mistakes, but if God says do it, please be encouraged to do it. So our first word from today is remove. Remove whatever is a barrier between Jesus and us. Our second word today is respond. Respond to the call of God, a leading from God. And it can be life-changing. Our third word today is release. Release what? In verse 44 it says, the dead man, Lazarus, came out of the tomb wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. And for all intensive purposes, it would have been just like a mummy walking out of a tomb. Literally. Can you picture that? What a sight. He was bound head to toe, and walking would have been very difficult, I'm sure. But then Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. When people are completely bandaged up, they can barely move, they could barely speak, and I'm sure they could barely see either. Jesus called the people there to take off the grave clothes and release him and free him, in other words. Jesus calls people in our lives to help release us, to free us. The Bible is very clear. Christ sets us free. Now, I'm sure it is possible for believers that know Christ, it's us, to still be walking around with grave clothes on. And to some, it is very hard to get rid of them on their own. And that is where church comes in. People may need pastoral care. It is right to reach out for help. I've seen grave clothes on hurt people, on many hurt people, because I recognise that I've lived it. Anyway, when I became a Christian, God revealed to me that anxiety were grave clothes in my life, restricting what God had planned for me. I was nervous to speak to anybody about it because they may have thought less of me, for one, and secondly, I didn't think that anybody could do anything about it anyway. But it just didn't seem right to feel anxious. I had to at least try something. I wanted that issue removed. I needed it removed. You can't live a good Christian life with anxiety in your heart. I went and saw Keith. Keith was an elder in that church at the time. And it was almost like when Keith looked at you, like he was looking into your soul, into your mind. And I couldn't hide anything from him anyway, even if I wanted to. I felt quite intimidated, actually. But still, I responded and made an appointment to see him, and I shared what I felt and half expected him to tell me to just grow up and don't be so stupid. But he didn't, of course. Instead, he gave me a scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 6. It was like, here's your script, go and fill it out. And honestly, though, I wasn't totally convinced that that was the answer. He said, every time I felt anxious or fearful before authority, I would have to say that scripture. What is the scripture? It is, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can any person do to me? Now, I'm not sure what I was expecting, but it wasn't just that. I thought there had to be more to it than that. Well, I did it, and something amazing happened. The more I said the words, the more I started to believe them. Just words on a page, but of course, they were God's words and God's promises. And they changed my life. The people that were at the tomb may have been mourners to support Mary and Martha. Probably many were non-believers at the time. But you can imagine witnessing a dead man walking out of a tomb. Would you have been freaked out? I would have been. And yet what happened? Verse 45 says, therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did, and after that they put their faith in him. They believed Jesus, the Son of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first believed in Jesus, I wanted to just tell the world about it. I remember even going on a bus, seeing people I don't even know saying, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And of course, the first 100 people told me to get lost because it's just not the right way of doing it. I wanted to reveal the glory of God, but I should have learned how to do it in God's way rather than mine. I still do want to reveal the glory of God. And today's fourth word is reveal. I'm going to ask the band to come forward, please. Sometimes I can tell you my story. Sometimes I can tell you someone else's story. It doesn't matter whose story it is. We just need to keep on revealing the name of Jesus from Scripture and from life. So let me ask you then, and I say this with the utmost of love that I could possibly give, do we need to remove something that is hindering our relationship with Jesus? And of course, only you know that. It's personal. Keep it that way. Do we need to respond to a command, Has he told us to do something that we haven't done yet? Do we need to be released from something binding us? Do we need to reveal Jesus to others, just declare his name? Let me suggest then, as we sing this next song, to open our hearts to Jesus, open our hearts to God, to allow him to minister to us, just as he did to Lazarus. And just like Lazarus, Jesus will perform miracles and will show us the glory of God. How exciting is that? As we sing the beautiful song, Spirit Song, let's remember those words. And if it requires just responding to the Lord now in your heart, in your mind, please do. Remember, after the service, there's always prayer afterwards. I'm sure Ian or any elders are available to come and pray with you. Let's sing. That need or that desire to want to get help from God right now, even just to put your hand on your chest or raise a hand low so no one else can see you, and let me pray for that. Father God, we recognise your Holy Spirit in this place today. We recognise your power, the power to raise people from the dead, the power to forgive, the power to change a life, the power to set free, Lord. We're praying today, Lord, that if anybody here in this room, in this church, is needing of any of those things, setting free, confirmation, leading, Father, comfort and peace in their heart, healing. Please, Holy Spirit, come upon us now and move in powerful ways. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, Jesus, come and fill your lambs. We pray in his precious name. Finish today's service with a great song, Across the Lands. And as we sing, just remember the power and the glory of God in our lives. Do remember, after the service, if anybody does require prayer, someone will be here ready, waiting for you. Please stand as we finish this service today with a lot of joy. Next week, may your grace and your wisdom be within upon us, lead us, direct us, help us make good decisions, answer your call, Father, respond where we need to be, when we need to, and enjoy the love that you so richly give us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
You're the only